Hi, I'm Lauren McLean, and welcome to Mentoring Nature Connections. I'd like to start by taking a moment to acknowledge the traditional territories we each find ourselves on today. For me, I live on Heritage Mountain in Port Moody, British Columbia. I overlook the Burrard Inlet, which is a coastal fjord beginning at the Strait of Georgia in the Pacific Ocean. This is the land of the Kwikwetlem First Nations. Today's episode is all about how we blend together two of my favorite things, nature and story workshop. So I asked a dear friend of mine, Alana Tassin, to help us dig into this topic a bit deeper. She's been teaching in Delta District for 24 years, and the last 8 have been in kindergarten. You can find her interview excerpt in the story workshop, New Possibilities for Young Writers book by Susan Harris McKay. Thank you so much for being here with us today, Alana. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So to give people a bit of a general overview, could you begin by just telling us what is Story Workshop?
Story Workshop is a framework for storytelling that came out of the Opal School in Portland, Oregon, for people who are familiar with that. And it's really a way for kids to explore their imagination and the ideas that live inside them. There's no right or wrong way to do Story Workshop. It's kind of a living, breathing thing that is always evolving.
I just would love to get rid of this myth, perhaps. Is it just in kindergarten that we can do Story Workshop?
Not at all. Story Workshop can be done in middle grades, upper intermediate grades. I've heard of people doing it in high school. Everyone can play and tell a story and uncover their ideas. Doesn't matter how old they are.
Thank you for debunking that myth for us. What sort of tips and strategies would you have for educators just starting with Story Workshop outdoors?
I think the key is to start small. Don't set really high expectations for yourself. And definitely let the kids drive their own stories. That's the whole idea behind Story Workshop, is that the stories are coming from inside the child. They're not coming from something that's prescribed to us. We may offer them an idea or give them something to think about, but the stories are coming from them. So let the kids drive the story.
And so when you're outside with your learners and you're saying, all right, today we're going to be outside on the grass field or by the trees, and we're going to be exploring Story Workshop, what other sort of guiding prompts do you give your learners to begin?
Sometimes I'll ask them a question. It might be connected to some learning that we've been doing already. We've explored mushrooms a lot in the fall, and maybe there's a story that lives in there. Are there some imaginary people that live in a mushroom world? Do the mushrooms talk? What would a mushroom family be like? Maybe offer them some ideas about that. I might encourage them to go around and gather up some different materials. What can you find? Now that you've found those materials, what kind of a story can you create with them? Offer them different possibilities.
Right. So it's not always find materials, make a setting. It could be we've found mushrooms, as you said, or perhaps we have found a flower, and now we're going to tell a story about a flower. So can learners sort of work together in groups when they're doing stories together like that?
Things like that just kind of naturally evolve for kids. Some kids are drawn to telling stories with each other, often sort of at the base of a tree where the roots branch apart from each other. Lots of kids like to see those as entrances to fairy homes, and those kids will naturally start to tell a story together. Other kids might find a big rock to tell a story against, and that's just their spot, and they want to tell their own story there with their own materials. So I never really say you must tell a story on your own or you must tell a story with a partner. That's one of those things that just naturally unfolds.
And so I'm already making this connection with learners telling stories based off of the place that they live in. So a story in your Delta district is going to be perhaps a little different from the story that my learners would tell up in the forest. They're going to have a different environment in different place. So I think that alone is supporting that notion of connecting the learners with the specific place that they're learning and playing on.
The idea of going outside and exploring their own area and then finding the stories that live there for them is the most important thing. That's why there's no really one way that you can do it. If there's cones where you are, then that can become part of your story. If there's only sticks, there's one part, place that we often go to at my school that is full of sticks, but really not much else. And so if we went there, how could we use sticks to tell a story? What could we build? And then if we go to a different spot, we might find different materials. So it's all about using what you have in your own space and letting the kids have ownership over the ideas that come from those things that are unique to you.
Do the students also have the opportunity to record their stories other than building it?
So I always take our wagon outside with us. And our wagon is full of clipboards and paper and crayons and pencil crayons and Sharpies and things that the kids would need to document their story, in addition to me taking photographs of their story as well. And I am very lucky to have a small set of 5 iPads in my class, so I will also take those outside and the kids can photograph their own story. They can video each other or video them telling their own story, just as another way to document their thinking.
Again, having those different modes or different ways for students to be able to tell the same story is a great way to help extend their thinking. Do you ever find that there are these lulls during story workshop time or other type of activities that you would need to bring the students together and help nudge their thinking a bit further?
There's always kids who are like gung-ho, ready to go, don't need your support, they're off and running. And then there's the kids who aren't really sure what their story's going to be about, can't really decide on what materials they want to gather, that type of thing. So sometimes I will stop everyone and ask them to come over so that one particular student can share the idea for their story to hopefully inspire other ones who are having trouble getting going. Sometimes I'll ask them to just stop, quickly go find someone and tell each other one idea they have for a story and then go back to where they were and keep going. Just different ways to try to nudge along gently the ones that are having trouble. The one thing about story workshop, whether it's in the class or outside, is that most kids don't have that much trouble. It's not the same as sitting in front of a piece of paper having to write words down. Every child can find a story and can tell a story. And because story workshop is so open, it can be about whatever they want. Those cones and leaves and sticks can become anything they want it to be.
That is the nice thing about how you're facilitating story workshop is the open-endedness of it. So I can imagine that learners are feeling a lot more relaxed and comfortable with that setting, that there isn't a right and wrong, as you said.
I think it gives them the freedom to be themselves and to pull out the pieces of who they are and use it to tell a story. And even though there are times, you know, I don't want people to think that there's no learning involved in story workshop beyond the oral language and the storytelling. There's lots of times where I'll say, we're focusing on setting in class right now. I want you to build me a setting outside and tell me about it. Or sometimes we'll create characters in the class out of paper or like whatever, and then bring those characters outside and create a story with those characters if we're focusing on characters. So there is guidance coming from the teacher, but it's just a little gentle nudge as opposed to a script. And the rest comes from the kids.
That's so beautiful. And I think the other part that's connected to what you're saying is in our province in BC, we have the core competencies, which we're really trying to make explicit with our learners, the personal social competencies, the thinking and the communication competencies. And that just seems to blend into what you're doing, how you're pulling the stories out of them. So do you introduce core competency language at the beginning of the year? Because it seems to blend so easily.
The actual language of the core competencies, I often will introduce later, but when I do introduce it, I introduce it as something that we've been doing all along and we just didn't know. And Kelly Shudo is actually the one who really guided me to learning about how to approach core competencies with kindergarten kids and having them reflect back that we're giving you these big words right now, but really these are things you already know how to do. I found has been very powerful with these little ones.
She does have such a great way of making that learning accessible for kids and for teachers. What other expectations do you have for the learners during story workshop time?
I have basic expectations that we always have when we go outside. Rules, well, I hate using the word rules. I shouldn't say that. Expectations that to keep everybody safe is really what it is. The students always have to be able to see an adult. If I'm the only one out there, obviously it has to be me. Sometimes we've got some support out there as well. So they always have to be able to see an adult. Our other rule is we leave nature in nature, in the sense that we don't pick things off trees or leaves or anything like that. We don't break sticks off. We don't pull anything off. Whatever's already on the ground is fair game. But anything that is still attached, we leave where it is so that we can enjoy it the next time we come out. And otherwise, those are our basic rules or expectations that we have when we're outside.
I love that, right? It's leave nature as we found it. In terms of materials, I know you mentioned that you do have your wagon there. What else is in your wagon for general nature time or specifically for story workshop time?
The paper and coloring materials and clipboards are always in there, whether we're going out for story workshop or not. There's magnifiers in there and there's plastic baskets so the kids can collect things. And I always keep like wipes and Sharpies and anything specific that I might anticipate that we need. Sometimes we go out and look closely. So I've got some squares with the middle cut out so they can focus on something. It changes, but those are the basic things that we keep in the wagon.
Perfect. Thank you. I also wanted to ask you about anchor stories and if you use them, what type of books do you use or do you not use anchor stories?
Most of the time I don't. If I can find something that I think will help the kids to imagine what I'm asking or that will help with that ball toss to get them going, then I'll read them a story connected to what we're doing outside. But sometimes that actually, in my experience, inhibits their own storytelling because they get this idea in their head from that story and then they want to retell it. And there's nothing wrong with them retelling the story. But if the idea is to dig deep and find the stories that live inside them, retelling a story that I've just read to them doesn't help that. So sometimes I'll use a story, but in my experience, sometimes it actually doesn't help the situation. Maybe I'll read the story after the fact, or I'll find a nonfiction book that talks about whatever it is that we're learning about to give some more information to the kids, but not feed them a story.
Well, and I can also imagine the stories aren't just done on Mondays. Often story workshop, correct me if I'm wrong, the students go back to them again and again. So using an anchor story, I can imagine, would inhibit that ability to, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is. I feel like it wouldn't have the same type of life to it as their own personal story would have to it, because those stories have the beginning, middle, and end typically, right? So it's kind of that closed box.
I feel like sometimes you don't always get at who that child really is inside.
Yeah.
If you are suggesting too much, sometimes less is more from you as the teacher, and you find out things and you learn things about these kids through their stories that you would never otherwise know. And so for those kids who are struggling to get going, if having a conversation with a partner hasn't worked and listening to someone else's story hasn't worked, most of the kids are off and running and they don't really need my support. So I can take that extra time to sit with that particular child and talk to them about what they found and what they're thinking. And if they really can't, I might just start talking to them about what they had for dinner last night, or did they take their dog for a walk, or I know that you go to gymnastics class. Did you have gymnastics yesterday? And try to help them uncover a story just by having some personal one-on-one time with them instead of offering that direct suggestion.
I just really appreciate how you're getting learners started by nudging them with little questions about their personal life, because then that's sort of how they can begin to open up with just talking. But part of that, most of that, really requires us to sit and listen with the kids. We can't be just off on the sidelines as a teacher. So this brings in a whole philosophy of how educator and learner interact with each other, right? We have to be down at the level and listening and interacting with them.
And I think that's how you get the most out of them. And once those kids, once the light bulb goes off and they've got this story and they're ready to roll, it's theirs. It's still theirs. You just helped them nudge it along.
So then the learners have the ownership over that story, which is hopefully a big confidence boost for them.
Absolutely. And I think that's also what drives them to go back to that story, or to take that character that they created and put it them in a different story, or and revisit those same ideas because they have that ownership over it.
And you also mentioned sharing stories between your learners. So do you have a set time, like at the end or in the middle of your story workshop, if you had an hour outside, do you have a dedicated sharing time or debrief time with everybody?
The sort of loose schedule that we follow for story workshop in the class or outside is we create our story and then we play our story, which becomes these adorable little five-year-olds moving things around and talking out loud to themselves. And it's amazing to listen to if you can just stand back when they don't think you're listening. Anyway, so we play our story, or we build our story. We build our story and then we play our story and we tell it out loud. They head off to the wagon and get themselves a clipboard and a piece of paper, and it's up to them what materials they choose to document. At some point, I'm coming around and taking a picture as well. And then we share. And often, if we're outside, I'll ask them, go find a friend who's finished also, and you listen to their story and they'll listen to yours. When we go back into the class, I will put the pictures up on the projector and give more kids a chance to share their story with the whole class. So we're sharing in lots of different ways. If kids are struggling in the middle, that's when I'll stop everybody and have them share with each other. But typically the sharing part comes at the end, unless someone needs it sooner.
So what other supports do you use when you're doing story workshop outside?
The big thing for me, so that I can remember later on, is I have a class set of name cards, just the kids' names laminated to come outside with us. And as soon as they're ready to get going, they take their name card and they sort of claim their spot for their story. And that allows me to take pictures as the story develops. It allows me to take a final picture when they think that they're done their story, so that I don't have to try to remember, like, oh, yours was the one with the two pine cones at the top or whatever. Their names are in it, and it helps me to be able to go back later and remember what they told me, and also to be able to share it with their parents. And I know whose story is whose.
That is lovely for the documentation purposes. So that has been a lovely overview of Story Workshop Out in Nature. So as our time is coming to an end, I do want to make sure I have time to ask you about a novelty nature note. And today I wanted to share about Douglas squirrels, because we have one little munchkin that continues to hang out in our cedars in our backyard. And so I was reading up on them, and because of their high growth rate, they have to continually chew on things to sharpen and wear down their front teeth. So I thought, what a funny connection to how beavers are in our province. Is there anything you'd like to share with us today?
Well, this summer I've been reading the book, Can You Hear the Trees Talking? And one thing I didn't know was that trees use this whole crazy fungi root system underneath the ground to communicate with each other. They support each other, they share nutrients with each other, and these mother bigger trees use that underground system to take care of the smaller trees and help them grow.
Isn't that incredible? Trees are fantastic. Thank you so much for taking time out of your evening to be with us here today by Zoom.
Thank you so much for having me.
If you'd like to follow Alana on Twitter, which I highly recommend, her handle is at Alana Tassan. So capital L, not capital L. So capital A, L-A-N-A, capital T-E-S-A-N. And I'll put her information under the podcast notes as well. Lastly, please feel free to visit mentoringnatureconnections.ca for teaching resources, or contact me if you have any questions or suggestions about today's episode. Until next time, go get your hands dirty and have fun with Mentoring Nature Connections.